It's going to be good. It's life-changing. Come on, get a little bit more excited. I was thinking about the Word coming towards us and how Jesus is the Word, and it's very personal. It's really rich. It's personal. And so when you think about all the things that you could be worried about this coming week, I believe the Lord has something to speak over you, that you would take hold of it and that it would shift the ground in that space and that fear would be eliminated, that you would not be anxious, that there would be the presence of his kingdom that you're seeking right now, that you would say, oh, God's got all of the other things handled. This is not for you to just sit back and just be like, what, you know, this is not a normal moment. This is a holy moment where you're seeking the kingdom through the word being delivered, that you're actually participating in this moment. There's a participation that's required with your heart grabbing hold of the word, saying, I'm going to take hold of that. I'm going to meditate on that. And I'm not going to fear the future. I'm going to participate and know that God has it handled. So would you put your hand on your heart? God, we choose, instead of the way the world does it, that we would seek your kingdom this morning. That you would give us eyes to see and a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this moment, that our hearts might be enlightened to the word of truth that would shift the very framework of our being. I ask, God, that your word would come with great precision. I know it will, because it is that. It's like a sword dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's very clear and very precise what you will do in this place. We choose to participate, God. We give you all of our hearts this morning. We surrender our hearts. We surrender the places of our minds that have become like a tower. And we just cast those things aside this morning. For this is holy ground. You are here, God. And we thank you that we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holiness, part two, pursuing holiness. I preached on holiness last week. I'm telling you, God is doing something in holiness. Prepare your heart. My own experience, prepare your heart for what he wants to do. So I have a couple questions to throw out there. Why do you think we actually hear very little about holiness? You think it's been so misunderstood that the church has packed it away? It's possible. Have you ever wondered why the church isn't walking in a greater victory over sin? Do you see the church dealing with the same sin over and over and over a long time? You know those things that are meant to destroy us? Those assignments against us by the evil one? Do you ever wonder where the power of the of spoken about in the Word of God is? I ever wonder why believers and non-believers look the same? Like you can't hardly tell a difference between them? You ever wonder about that? You see, we should be able to see a very clear difference between the church and the world. And I believe that God is once again awakening the church to the truth of holiness. I personally believe it is what is going to allow the greatest revival the world has ever seen to actually come. Holiness. Holiness. I remind you of the verse I started with last week, Hebrews 12:14. It says, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's that go after, apprehend, urgency, intensity, going after it. Would you say that in your life, you go after holiness like that? Well, I want to remind you, because some of you out there weren't here last week, so I have to set this for today. And that is that there's two kinds of holinesses. There's the positional holiness. And how that happens is that because Christ went to the cross, he gave us holiness. It's a done deal. It's complete. It is what it is. And it's called justification. And then there's behavioral holiness. And that's what was accomplished on the inside, and it's working its way out to the outside. It's showing us the way that we're meant to live, and it's called sanctification. And it is a journey. Holiness is a journey. I'm really pretty convinced there's no end to it. There's always more of knowing him, understanding him, and becoming like him. So I found this illustration about holiness that I really feel like it speaks to this positional holiness and behavioral holiness. And it's by a man named Jerry Bridges. And it's about a farmer. Got any farmers out there? No one? One? So the farmer plows the field, right? In the spring, you ever watch them do that? And then they put seeds in the ground, right? And then they fertilize and they cultivate. All the while, the farmer knows this. He cannot make the seed germinate. He cannot make the rain come. And he cannot make the sun shine. And he does all of those things. And for a successful harvest to the farmer, he actually has to have those things, right? If there's no sunshine and no rain and no seeds germinating, there's a problem. The crop is zero. And so the farmer understands that unless he does his part, you can have all the sunshine, all the rain you want, but unless the farmer actually goes out and sows the seeds and puts it in the ground and actually takes care of his crop, probably not going to get much crop, right? And so you can see that there's this joint effort between God and the farmer to make a crop come into being, correct? And it's the same with holiness. It's this joint venture together. It's you guys and him working together. He has positioned you. He's given you holiness. And then he's given you the Holy Spirit. And he's given you the grace and the power to become what he is calling you to become. And so it's this venture of you working together. And he's not going to walk for you. God's not going to walk for you. There's some things you have to do. And that's what his holiness is really about. And our goal, bottom line, the goal is this, to be holy as he is holy. That's not hard, right? Be holy as he is holy. You see, we need to develop a behavior that matches our position. So holiness, if I'm going to define it, I'm going to define it like this. It's actually conformity to the character of God. In other words, you're going to look like him. He wants you to look like him. Yeah. We're always becoming more like him. I found a quote by D.L. Moody. So just listen. It'll hit you. A holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns, they just shine. And holiness needs to shine out of us till people see him in us. So, reluctantly, I'm going to share a little of my story. From this last week. My sister made me do it. I won't tell you which one. So there's this prayer that I pray often. It's actually one that David, the giant slayer, actually wrote. And I have prayed this for a long time. I pray it probably, maybe not every day, but pretty close to it. And it's found in the Psalms, and it says this. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I might walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." You see, I want to walk in the truth. And I want to know the truth, and I want to be holy before him. And God answered that prayer this week. And this is very personal. It's about understanding who God really is in holiness. And he began to show me that I did not understand who he really was in holiness. And that I was actually representing him incorrectly because I did not understand who he was in holiness. And I was undone. You have to understand, I strive very hard to understand and stay in the Word and stay understanding who he is. And when he zeroed me in, I thought, okay, I just need to resign. I'm done. What am I going to do? God, how could I? Oh, my word, look what this has done, because I have misunderstood who you are and I misrepresented you who you are. What have I done? And then something called repentance came in. Repentance is saying, hey, God, I humbly come before you and I just ask you to forgive me for misunderstanding, for representing you in a way that is not kingdom at all. And I ask you to cleanse me and to shift me on the inside. And as the church stands, I stand before you this morning, I ask you to forgive me for not knowing, for representing him contrary to the very nature of God. This is hard. This is truth. He's after our hearts 100%. And he's more concerned about me and him and my heart than anything else. And that's what he's longing for. And he's wanting this church to walk in full holiness. And you see, I had to understand something, or I could not actually share about holiness with you. And so I want to show you in the Word about who God is in holiness. What does that look like and what does that mean? And who Jesus Christ is in holiness and what does that look like and what does that mean? Because if you don't understand those things, if you do not have underneath you on the very foundation of your being, this is God, then you'll think things that are not true. And you'll expect things that are not true. And you'll wonder why God is not doing what you're asking him to do. And so this is critical. It's so critical. So I want to start with 1 Peter 1:15-16. It says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy as I am holy." You see, being holy is not based, our call to be holy is based on the truth that we need to be holy, be like he is holy. Not like I'm holy, not like the person sitting next to you is holy, not like those who you admire and look up to, not to those that you listen to podcasts about, not their holiness, but his holiness. And if you don't really understand what that looks like, you see, we sing about it, right? We sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? We sing it. And we actually pray about holiness. And in the throne room right now, right this second in the throne room, there's huge angels that are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and ever will be. Day and night, they're saying that. Then we really need to understand what holiness is. What does it look like? And I remind you, holiness is conformity to the character of God. So first of all, I want you to know that there's some beauty to discover in this journey. There's some things that are going to just rock you in understanding. As you go through the weeks and months and you ask God to make you holy like He is holy, be prepared. He'll answer it. He really will. And so number one, His very nature is holy. Every part of God is holy. It's one of His attributes, or it's His quality, or it's His character. And maybe you think, well, that's not a big deal. But listen what that means. Because He is holy in every part of Himself, this is what it means. Every decision He makes, every act that comes out of His nature, it comes out of His nature of holiness. Every decision, everything He does, it comes out of that place of holiness. That's important for us to understand so that we both know what He will do and what He will not do. God cannot but know what is right. He cannot but do what is right. You see, God gets accused of a lot of things, but He's holy. He's holy, and He only does what is right. Compare yourself to that thought. Do you ever go, well, I wonder what the right thing to do. Oh, I know I should do this, but man, that's going to cost me, and I don't really want to do that. Do you ever think like that? This is the right thing to do, but I don't know. God doesn't ever do that. He always does what is right. You really need to understand that. He always does what is right. And it should actually be at the very bottom that supports your understanding of God, that He is holy. God always does what's just and right without hesitation. And get this one. Holiness in God is totally free of any kind of evil. You know, I really want good things for my children, but I have evil in me sometimes. It's not good. God has you in His heart, but He never has evil intent. There's no evil in God. In fact, it says in 1 John 1:15, it says that in Him is light, and there's no darkness at all in Him. No darkness. No darkness in God. Only light. So sometimes when you're frustrated and you're angry and you're complaining, you need to remember that in God there is no darkness. What His heart for you, if you're experiencing darkness, then that's probably not God, because God is light. Zero darkness. That's incomprehensible. I try to live godly and holy before Him, but there are times when I am mean. It comes out of nowhere. Sometimes even shocks me. And God is not like that. There's no evil in Him. When you talk about the holiness of God, you have to understand that His thoughts and actions, okay, both what He's thinking and what He does, stays in character with His holiness. He doesn't have a bad day and do something out of character like we do. He doesn't get tired and then behave inappropriately. His holiness keeps His actions in line with His character. Church, this is the holiness He's calling us to work, to walk in. To be holy as He is holy. Understanding God's holiness should bring us comfort, because then we know his actions towards us are going to be perfect and just. We need to guard that complaining to God about how he's responding to us and what he's doing in our life and how he's working, because he's working his perfect will in you. He would. His heart is for you, not against you. And we attribute to him what the enemy does in our lives. And it's time that we acknowledge who he really is. Have you ever been upset with God? Have you ever thought, this is just not fair? This is just not fair, God. God is fair. I can remember this. It was in the basement of the old church. And I was by the bulletin board, and this lady was visiting this day. And she was somebody from the community I knew, and we were standing there. And I said that God was fair. And she said, that's a lie. God is not fair. He's never fair. And I was like, God is fair, right? He is fair, right? You know, I mean, I was like this person questioning, what do I do with this? And it was so traumatic for me. It stayed with me. I'm here to announce you this morning, God is fair. He's fair. It's actually impossible in the very nature of God to be unfair. Do you understand that? It's impossible for him to be unfair. I would hazard a guess that many of you felt one time or another that he's been unfair to you. And because he's holy, his actions are holy. So do you base your thoughts of God on who he is or on the circumstances in your life? To complain about God is actually to deny his holiness. You see, we think about God in human terms and human thinking all the time, and we gauge him with what he does through our own standards. That does not work well. I remember thinking of God like my dad. That doesn't work well either. God is not like our fathers. So let's go a little deeper. Because God is holy, God does not tolerate sin. And he does not excuse it. We often excuse sin on the grounds that, oh, we didn't sleep well, and we're not feeling good, so we've had a really hard day, so it's okay. Sin is not okay. It is not okay. God actually hates sin. Large or small, it makes no difference, even though we categorize them, because if you ask me, I'd tell you I hate sin, but there's things I allow to happen in my own life. And that is tolerating sin. And God does not tolerate sin. Do you hate sin? I'd asked you that this morning. Do you actually hate sin? When he calls us to be holy as he is holy, he wants us to hate sin too. That means that we don't tolerate it in our life. And we need to grieve over sin in our lives rather than to justify it. Boy, I can justify my actions. How about you? This is really easy. I wouldn't have done that if. I wouldn't have acted like that if. There's always a reason. And so instead, just to say, this is sin, God, please forgive me. This is wrong. Teach me your ways. Let me walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your very name. I love this verse because it gives us great hope when you talk about hating sin and all of that. In 1 John 1:7-9, it says this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, the one we took communion this morning, the one we celebrated this morning, that blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We can be free. It doesn't matter what you've committed, what you've done. There is freedom. It cleanses us. And he said it so well, as if it never happened. You see, we remember each other's sins. He does not. Thank goodness for that. Thank you, Lord. And then it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then my favorite, verse 9. But if we confess our sin, if we come before him and say, Papa, here I am, look what I've done. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's freedom, church. So you don't keep walking in this trash that was, because that's over and done with. It's cleansed. When you come before him and you confess your sins, it's in the past. Don't let anyone else intimidate you and make you feel guilty for that which you've already put under the blood of Jesus. Because the price of the blood of Jesus was sufficient. It's time to quit looking back, always agonizing over stuff that was in the past and letting it torment you. It's time to say, I hate sin and I'm moving forward. Yes. I love that God's grace is sufficient for every encounter of sin we have. His grace empowers us to say no. There's no addiction that is greater than the blood of Jesus. I truly believe that his healing power, his setting people free, that's what he wants to do. He wants people to come in this door, and he wants us to pray over them and walk them through salvation and walk them through deliverance from their addiction and then see them free. Free forever. That's what this house is called to do. He wants people to walk in and they're deaf and they walk out hearing. He wants us to be that light that shines in the darkness. He wants us to be him. And that's why he's saying, hey, you need to be holy like I am holy. You need to reflect me in all your ways, because when you do, people are changed. Do you remember how I told you last week that holiness is actually, you come so close into the encounter with God that his presence shifts and changes you. I saw that happen in me this week. I saw it for myself. I'm free. I'm free. Oh God, he's so good. And we can pursue holiness. And we can apprehend it or grab hold of it because of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So you need to understand something. Jesus is holy. I want to remind you of a couple verses in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen to this. For he made him, that's Jesus is the him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He never sinned, church. He came as a man. He walked on the earth. He lived like you did, with siblings and parents and neighbors and issues in the country and all of those things. He walked just like you do, only he did not sin. And he did it for you so that he could pay the price for you. He lived perfectly holy his entire life on earth. And how do I know that? Look at Hebrews 4:15. It says, we don't have a high priest, that's Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He gets it. He walked it. He knows what you're going through. He had to say no, just like you and I had to. He didn't have some supernatural power that enabled him to just walk through, breeze through life. He did it like you and I. Otherwise, he couldn't be our high priest. Otherwise, he couldn't understand what you are going through. But he does. And it says he was in all points tempted as you are. Every point he faced, yet without sin. And then in 1 John 3:5, it says, You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there was no sin. So I'm reminding you that he walked sinless. And the last one, in John 6:38. This one will get you to the right, to the core. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, he not only did not sin, he perfectly obeyed the will of the Father. And he always pleased the Father. Oh, it actually says in John 8:29, I always do those things that please him. The one who says to be holy as I am holy, he did that. He was holy as the Father was holy. You have to understand that it went beyond not sinning in his actions. He was holy in his motives. Did you ever have, you do all the right things, but on the inside, there's a raging inferno? You look perfectly calm, but on the inside, don't you? You know, we have bad intents and bad motives. And sometimes we do it like this, but inside there's something else. Jesus was never like that. What everything he did was to please the Father. Everything he did. And not his will, but his. He's so holy, he never had a selfish thought or motive. Oh my goodness. Life can be so about me. Have you ever experienced that? Life about you? It's all about me? I like what I like. I don't want to eat where you want to eat. I like to do what I like to do, not what you like to do. We are selfish. And he was not. He lived a perfect life. Our thoughts and motives can be so self-centered. Even as a person who loves the Lord with all their heart, our thoughts and motives can be self-centered. I find that dying to Ruth and living to God is challenging. Even as he's calling, be ye holy as I'm holy. It's why we have to agree with Paul and I die daily to self. Because it likes to come alive and well. So many ways. We have to put off the old man and live in the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ sent to earth for us. So living holy as he is holy includes our thoughts and our motives in our heart. And what probably comes to mind is impossible. But as we are in the Word of God, the Scripture tells us that in Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it discerns between the thought and motives of our heart. You see, he's at work every time you're in the Word. He's showing you. He's working on you. He's bringing you closer to him, making you more holy. It's unbelievable when you think that he lived without sin. He did what pleased the Father. He obeyed him. He didn't do it out of wrong motives. And he always pleased the Father. And I asked you this morning, and this is serious, do you make that your personal goal? That everything I do, every day, I would please my Father in heaven. That my actions, my attitudes, my thoughts, the intents of my hearts, my motives, they would be pleasing to him. Do we make it our target? You see, if you don't decide, okay, God, I've heard about holiness and I actually want to be holy as you're holy. I want to live holy like you. If you don't make a goal of it, did you know you'll miss every target you don't aim for? Every target you don't aim for, you'll miss. And so you have to say, okay, this is what God's calling me to, and this is where I'm headed. By the grace of God who empowers me, I'm going to be holy as he is holy. And as he shows me things, I'm going to deal with them, and I'm going to let go of things, and I'm going to become more like him. I'm going to be a lighthouse that shines. Yeah. It tells us another reason for us to look at the holiness of Jesus is because he's our example. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says he leaves us an example and that we should follow in his steps. So I found this quote by a Scottish theologian named John Brown. And I'm actually putting it on the screen because it's heavy. It says, holiness does not consist of mystic speculations, enthusiastic fervors, or uncommanded austerities, which I looked up to make sure I knew what that meant, sternness. It consists of thinking how God thinks and willing as God wills. Is that not beautiful? Thinking like God thinks and willing like God wills. Yeah. Our journey of holiness, we must keep in mind the truth of what Jesus accomplished for us. It's because of him that we can do it. We can be holy as he is holy because of what Jesus did for us, his righteousness. And the enemy will try to stop you in this. I was ready to resign this week, seriously ready to lay it all down. That's what the enemy wanted. He wants me to be silent. I had to remember the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for me. And it was sufficient. And it's sufficient for you too. We must see that work as complete that he accomplished on the cross for us. Holiness is not a set of rules that are impossible. It's actually living so close to God that you become like him. You look like him. You think like him. You want what he wants. So church, we have an assignment. God is calling us to be holy as he is holy. And it's not an easy assignment, but it's one that will open doors and lead us into realms of his glory that we've never experienced before. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. As we become more like him, his glory will prevail in this house. And something interesting, you can go to school and you can get an assignment, and every time you get one, you can say, I'm not doing that. I don't care if I get an F, I'm not doing it. But holiness is not an option. If you are a believer, it's an assignment that's yours, and it has your name on it, and it's not an option. We actually have a command from our commander-in-chief, God himself. Be ye holy as I am holy. And I asked you, what are you going to do? How will you pursue this holiness set before you? I'll tell you where you start. You start with repentance. God, just like I heard at communion, would you forgive me? I'm going to start fresh today. Today. It's going to be the day that I follow after you, that I'm going to be holy as you are holy. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to whisper in my ear when I'm heading off course. I ask you to prick my heart when I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about, when my thoughts and motives are way into Ruth. Would you please remind me? Would you call me? Speak to me? So I want to close this with a verse out of Ephesians chapter 5, and it's a reminder the value of searching for holiness and going after it with all of your heart. It says that Jesus is coming back. We all know he's coming back. But what's he coming back for? He's coming back for a holy bride. That's what he's looking for. A without spot or blemish, without wrinkle. He's coming back for a holy bride. And that's you and I. Would you stand with me? Like the message this morning, I didn't like preparing it either, so we're on even ground. And I didn't care for the journey I went through this week, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He wants a holy people. And I see before me a holy people without spot or wrinkle because of the blood of Jesus. Because you all took communion and you all said, Father, forgive me for what I've done. That makes you white and pure and holy. What does that look like? It means I say to you, that doesn't seem very holy today. Challenge each other. Call each other up. It's time, church, that we walk into the fullness of what God wants us to be and do. And that will open the doors for the supernatural. Beyond anything else I can tell you. You want the supernatural moving in this house? Be holy. Be holy. Jesus was perfectly holy, and it followed Him everywhere. Everywhere He went, it was happening. Because He only did what the Father showed Him. And when we walk and do what the Father shows us in our holiness, we will be walking in the supernatural because God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we offer ourselves before You this morning. Oh God, we declare we want to be holy as You are holy. Fully looking like You, without spot or wrinkle. God, move in our hearts. Pinpoint those areas we need to get out of our house. Show us the things we need to deal with. Remind us of the power You've given us to say no. Would You anoint us this morning for the journey of holiness in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, right now, like in the book of Acts, would You just pour out Your anointing on the heads of those standing this morning? God, come and breathe Your breath upon us. God, take our hard hearts, our cold hearts, and make them soft and pliable, and make us to shine like a lighthouse. Oh, Lord, we love You. We love You, Lord. I praise You for who You are, God. I praise You for the mighty work You're doing in this house. And I thank You for the holy people I serve. Precious name of Jesus. If there's areas you're dealing with that you can't get beyond, if you come to the altar, there'll be teams of people that'll pray over you. So I encourage you, as the music's playing, as Pastor Mike closes the service, to come. Come to the altar.
Say with me, I'm the righteousness of Christ. Say it again.
I am the righteousness.
And I'm walking out His holiness every day. Put your hand in your heart this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Go in His grace.